Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Ground Beef Podcast. This is episode 4, and we're glad to have you back. We've enjoyed putting together these episodes thus far, and today we think we have a pretty good one in hand. We're going to get back towards the topics, followed by the Change My Mind segment, so we're looking forward to that. Today we have two topics. We're going to talk about college athletics. Are they getting back on the field anytime soon? And if they are, is it time to start paying college athletes? Second topic, rap beefs. There's a bunch of them out there. Do they help? Do they not help? What's the story behind them? We're going to get into that a little bit. Then we're going to go into the Change My Mind segment, but it's going to be a little bit different today. We're going to talk about Torpedo and his magic balls. So we're excited to get that conversation out there, get some thoughts on it, and go from there. So as always, we ask that you sit back, relax, enjoy, and let's go. So tonight we got the normal crew, Frederico, Thomas.
Hello.
Skinny P.
Yes, sir.
King Bean.
Yep.
And Torpedo.
Hi, I'm Paul.
I remember that after Jimmy Neutron episodes.
Okay, so we're back to last podcast. We did a little different topics, the way we did it. We're back to normal where we're going to have two topics tonight, followed by the Change My Mind segment. So we're going to jump right into topic one. And one of the things that it's kind of been out there here recently, obviously with the coronavirus, is what's going to happen to college sports in the fall. And we're going to talk about that in two different ways. The first thing we're going to talk about is really the whole concept of them coming back, why they're coming back, how they're coming back. And then we're going to talk a little bit about compensation for college athletes. So the first portion of it is going to be, as we sit here today, most of the California schools, I believe, have said that they're not going to allow football back in the fall. Is that correct? You guys have heard that as well?
I heard that they're on lockdown until August, but okay. I didn't hear anything about them saying that they were not going to play football this fall. Like UCLA and USC is not going to play football.
Yeah. So really? Stanford.
See, they were irrelevant. They were about irrelevant anyways.
Sure.
Dang. That is correct. But the belief is because they're not going to have students on campus, they're not going to let the football programs play. And so there are some other schools throughout the country who have said that they're looking at potentially having the fall program for students be online. However, they're going to allow student athletes on campus. Obviously, we're talking about like the SEC, Big Ten, schools like that. And so the concept or the things I want to talk about here are pretty simple. If it's not good enough for all of the kids to come back, why is it good enough for the athletes to come back? Is that okay? Should it be okay? And if it is okay, is the driving force behind it really money? And if the driving force behind it is money, then that's the second part that I want to discuss. Is it time? The NCAA just had a ruling against it saying that college athletes could be paid for their likeness, their images. I think they're going to rules. But is it time for them to actually start paying college athletes outside of scholarships and things of that nature? So a couple statistics as we think about it just before we go in there, just to kind of set the tone. I looked this up, and the top five programs as far as revenues over as of, let's say, the last 3 years, it's a 3-year rolling average. Believe it or not, Texas A&M, over the last 3 years, they brought in about $147 million a year, and they profit about $94 million a year. Texas, $147.92. Michigan, believe it or not, $139 million a year, $83 million profit. Alabama, who's obviously been on top, $134 million on average over the last 3 years with $61 million profit. And then Ohio State at $132 with a $75 million profit. And believe it or not, Clemson, who's actually been really, you know, good over the last 3 years, it comes in at number 25 with $77 million a year over the last 3 years with only $27 million profit. And if you look at it, the SEC made about $660 million through TV revenues, paying out each school about $43.7 million. Big Ten, somewhere about $50 million per school is what they paid out. And if you took the NFL's CBA agreement, and the way they do it is they split shared revenues at like 47% of the profit. If you took that same thing and applied it to NCAA athletes, 85 players on a football team, your average player would get $150,000 a season for playing. So let's start from there. First question. If it's not good enough for all the students to come back, is it good enough for athletes to come back? Do we need sports back? Who wants to start?
I believe that if they're not going to allow the students back and they're going to allow these players back, then they should pay them. I think already that every student athlete, the NCAA talks about wanting to make it fair and that they already paid them. They should give them, every student athlete, a full scholarship then. And if not, then they need to be dishing out money. So I guess my answer to that question would be, no, they shouldn't allow them back unless they're going to pay them.
Is that just because of the coronavirus? Or do you think in general they should be paid?
I think they should be getting more than what they're already getting. But if they're not going to allow students back due to coronavirus, then they shouldn't let them come back unless they were getting paid. Because now you're adding some incentive. You know, because at the end of the day, I mean, you're looking like in basketball alone, you know, the University of Michigan is going to lose $1 billion across all its campuses for the next year. And that's just one school. You know, the Power Five conference is set to lose $4.1 billion. So, I mean, if they want them to play, that's a lot of money for any program or any school to lose. You know, you're talking billions of dollars, right? So it's money driven. I mean, there's no other way to put it. They're losing so much by not having it out there, and they want to recoup all of that money. So
are the coronavirus decisions for school being driven by money or by what's best?
Money, 100%. They don't care about the students because they know either way the students are going to have to pay for their classes, whether it's because of debt or whether it's online or whether it's in school. The students are going to pay regardless.
Richie, I have a feeling you've got some deep thoughts here.
I do. This whole coronavirus stuff is all bullshit. I'm not saying that it's not real. Yeah, I just think it's overblown by the media, overblown by a lot of people. If you look at the data and the numbers, it's not this crazy, oh my God, hide yourself, lock yourself up in your house till August. Okay. It's ridiculous. But anyways, California is known to be on the extremes of things. They've already come out and said, or LA County, I believe, said that they're going to shut down till August. Correct. You know, and I saw something the other day, and it's absolutely right from Dave Portnoy. He put it out on Twitter, recorded himself saying, like, when did, you know, flatten the curve turn into like find a cure? You know what I mean? Like, at first we were supposed to stay home just to slow down this thing. And now all of a sudden California's taking it to, you know, an extreme to the point to where, you know, you're not going to be able to leave your house till August. I don't know how honestly, and I don't mean to go off away from NCAA football, but I don't know how they expect anybody to survive and live, you know, and make, you know, provide for their family if you're telling them you can't leave till August. But anyways, I have a lot of beef with California in the same way that I have a lot of beef with Ohio, and I won't get into it too much in their liberal policies, but
wow.
Listen, here's an interesting part about this, right? So you're a parent, and in football, obviously there's full scholarships, but in other sports there isn't, okay? But let's talk about the paying parent, right? USC, correct me if I'm wrong, is somewhere around, the last time I checked, it was around $70,000 or $80,000 a year. If it's going to be online, Why not take an online school? Why not take online courses at a school that's half of what USC is? So how's that going to affect, you know,
because people? because of the standard of the degree, you know, it's like a no name brand versus a big name brand. Like,
yeah, but for the first 2 years, you're taking the same classes everywhere.
Correct.
You're right. But not everybody does that. Then why does any university have that, you know,
for the on-campus experience, for the sororities? I'm talking about non-athletes. Remember? Mm-hmm. OK,
so, well, can they still hold that stuff outside of school?
They're shut down. The county shut down till August. I mean, I don't know how much longer they're going to. I don't think anybody knows, right? How much longer they're going to keep this thing going. So I'm pretty sure you're not going to be able. They're not going to be able to have fraternity gatherings and stuff like that. What would they gather for? For socials? You're not going to be able to do a social that's sponsored by the school or that fraternity. You know, the school's going to tell you, like, hey, no, listen, if they're not playing football, you ain't doing chapter meetings, bro. You understand what I'm saying? Football brings money to the school. You're not going to have sororities or fraternities doing stuff on campus events and stuff like that, obviously. So my point is, I think I'm sure they've looked into it, but I can only imagine how it's going to affect enrollment too. Like me as a parent, I'm not, if a semester is going to cost me 30 grand at USC, sweetie, you're going to junior college for 2 years because it's all online. You're not going to be able to leave your house, you know, you're not going to be able to be on campus. You know, so that hurts. I mean, I think that it's a mess. In regards to, I can't believe they're even considering not playing football. I think that's crazy. You know, I think I saw a report the other day where Manny Diaz from the University of Miami said he can get ready in 10 weeks or 6 weeks or something like that. Like, he'll make sure the players are in shape, and they've been doing, I think every college coach in across the country is sick of Zoom meetings. And I'm sure they're having them with all of their, you know, their players. I think you can definitely get ready in 6 weeks. You know, I don't know why, you know, I guess it doesn't make sense to me why they're talking about not playing any football. The scary part to me about all this is that the NCAA has always been what's good for the little school, or let me rephrase it. It's got to be an even playing field. So if the little school can't do this, well, neither can the big school. Now, in this case, if all the teams in California can't play football, are they going to let the rest of the country play football? The NCAA? Well,
that's an interesting question. King Bean, thoughts? As somebody who is a college guy, he stepped away. I'll have to cut that out. He's got something bums in his yard.
Don't cut it out.
Wait, what? He has bums in his yard?
I'm not going to cut this out because he literally said, I had to step away. I have bums in my yard. So hopefully he survives that. I guess we'll come back to King B. Mm-hmm. And get a feel for what happened.
Well, I'll tell you what I think.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think these athletes should get paid. I mean, again, we're talking about 17, 18. 19, 20, 21-year-old kids. Okay, if they don't want to play, it's not that they don't have to play. They're allowing them to play.
Well, I'll say
how much money are they bringing in?
It doesn't matter. It's part of the system.
No, but think about how many people went to a Duke game because of Zion Williamson. Think about that.
And if Zion Williamson didn't want to play, then guess what? We'll find somebody else who's next in line who wants to play.
Okay.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The money that these – this is my thoughts on it. The money that these programs bring in – listen to what I said at the beginning. Texas A&M, on average, over the last 3 years, their football program brought in $147 million. That money just doesn't go to the football program. That money goes to the school. And these kids are, in essence, unpaid labor – that these schools are building off of their backs and being it's able to labor. Do all these things.
It's not labor if you want to.
Yes,
it is labor.
It is labor, but you can't. And I'm like, listen, I think that you players could get paid, but I have a different theory on this. But you can't call it unpaid labor because they're paying in the form of an education. So you can't say it's unpaid labor, but it is labor.
However,
I propose.
But they're not getting full scholarships.
Basketball and football are the big sports. Are
they're getting paid on the side?
But what, Dan?
I said they're getting paid on the side, as you could see with all these scandals coming out.
No. But what I'm saying, you said it's not full scholarships, and I said basketball and football are. And those are those are the only two sports that bring in money. So let's call it what it is. We're all baseball guys here, but the reality is that, you know, as you see, I don't know if you guys saw, Furman yesterday dropped their baseball program because of the coronavirus. Yeah, and it's going to continue to happen. This is what's crazy about this. But here's my theory on paying players. I'm cool with it. Believe it or not, I'm cool with it. However, here's what you got to do. You need to sign a contract at the beginning of your college career, probably, right, that says I'm signing a waiver, a contract that basically states that I'm going to accept money throughout my career here at the University of whatever. However, I owe you, when I graduate, before I get my degree, I owe you my education, the money that over the course of time that I've been here. So Zion Williamson went to Duke for 1 year and the tuition plus room and board plus all this comes out to 80 grand, you got to pay the 80 grand back to the school. I think that's fair, right? If you're going to allow a kid to make money, because now it's like, hey, you're also making money off our likeness. Zion Williamson may not have as much hype, endorsement deals, notoriety if he went to a Bowling Green as opposed to a Duke. So it works.
Yeah, but I think he's a bad example. I mean, he had a following that you couldn't imagine
prior to everything. So give me another player. Give me another player.
What
issues do you see with that, with what I just proposed, though?
No, I don't see any issue. I think, though, that if they're going to pay him, I agree with you.
I don't think the school should pay, by the way. I don't think the school should. I think they should be allowed to go get their own endorsements.
Well, or be paid.
But the NCAA restricts that.
Well, that's the NCAA what I'm saying. Restricts that. Right, but that's what I'm saying. I think they should allow that.
Or the TV contracts, or the revenues that the sport brings in, and I agree that that's not necessarily fair because you're right, you know, call a spade a spade. Those are the only two programs that are probably, you know, super big, depending on the school, but in general, those are the only two programs, right, football and basketball, that bring in high revenue dollars. But I guess the way I look at it is, you know, you're talking about. Listen, we don't want kids to be on campus because we're afraid that they could still get sick. We don't want to put spectators in the stands because we're afraid that people could still get sick. And I agree with you. Who knows about the coronavirus? But here's the thing. But we still want you to go out there and practice, and we still want to have games. Well, those guys are in the trenches. They're around. I mean, we're all sports guys. We know how that is. You're around each other 24/7, you know. The life of a college athlete is up at 6 a.m, if not earlier, and studying till, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, then start it all over again the next day. It's just obvious to me that some of these decisions, I think, are money driven because of what they bring into the school and what the schools need to survive. And if that's the case, then you're basically saying, look, it's not an amateur sport. It's borderline professional because the amount of money it brings in. If it was an amateur sport, it'd be like what we're doing during the summers, you know, out there playing in essence for the love of the game, not because we're getting paid or drawing some giant revenues. I mean, it is what it is. I'm kind of torn because I do agree that the scholarships and all that is in essence a form of paying. But when you look at these numbers, I mean, the amount of money that these programs make off of these kids, it's just staggering. Let me finish one last thought. And then you make all this money, but a kid can't afford to bring his mom or dad to a game, or a kid can't afford to have his, you know, a kid gets written up because he sold his shirt. And I know your hatred for Ohio State, but when you go back and you look at the Trestle stuff, this was all about kids.
Dirty trestle.
This is all about kids that were selling their own stuff. They're right, selling correct. their stuff. So you're punishing.
But he was selling his stuff because, to get a tattoo. Wasn't necessarily to bring his mom out.
But regardless of how he's
using it,
should
be able to. But who cares?
I care because he's a dirty Ohio State player. But
but if you're correct, if you're selling your sweater because, you know, you don't need it anymore, why should that be an NCAA violation? Why should they even care? And so if you're going to be so strict that they don't have, I mean, wasn't it Manziel, I think, that got in trouble for signing autographs? Like, he violated
some stupid. Yeah, no. He got paid for signing autographs.
Correct. So you can't. They're not being paid. They have no way to go get jobs. And this whole thing about, oh, well, they can go get jobs in school. No, you can't. You can't be a big time athlete at a major program and go work 30 hours a week. That's not realistic. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can, but it's not realistic. Correct. So there's got to be some balance between it.
Go ahead, Richie.
I just think that, and I agree with both you, Torpedo, both you, Old Gray Fox. I'm totally okay with players getting paid, making money off their likeness. I really am. I just don't think it should come from the institution, and here's why. For many reasons, but the main one is because college, okay, and I can speak for myself, like before every season, I think, and this is most fans, right? We all get excited, like, hey, I wonder how good we're going to be this year. We got a chance this year to win the ACC or this or that or whatever, right? If you're going to let the institution start paying these players, the schools that have the biggest enrollment or endorsement deals or this or that will always be like, you won't even have a situation like a Boise State being good one year. You know what I mean? Like, okay, we had a couple years ago, we spoke about them.
Counterpoint.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that what's happening now? Be honest. There's 10 programs year in and year out that realistically have a shot to win the national championship.
That's 100%. But you still have but what the NCAA, I'm not disagreeing with you, but what the NCAA has done is they try to even the playing field by limiting scholarships, by limiting, you know, they have all these restrictions so that it does even the playing field. I'm not saying that they've done a great job with that, but that's what they put those rules in place.
It doesn't even the playing field, and I'll tell you why. Because Bowling Green, Boise State could go 12-0 next year, and there's an above average likelihood that they wouldn't get in over a 12-1 Alabama. They wouldn't get into the playoffs. You know it as well as I do. They could go 12-0, demolish every team they play, and a 12-1 Alabama still gets into the college football playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, a 12-1 Alabama gets in over everybody because the SEC. You know what I mean?
I don't even think they would get in over 12-2.
They wouldn't get in over 12-2.
Next issue with the institution paying players. That's fine. I think that, again, these teams will have no shot of having a chance. You guys say that's already happening. Fine. But I'm telling you, it would only make it worse. I think we could all agree with that, right?
I think that by not letting the institution or not having somebody set guidelines as to what the institution can pay and leaving it up to people outside is when corruption beyond, yeah. And listen, I'm not saying corruption doesn't happen
on.
Now.
It's already going on.
You know, you see these guys switch their commitments signing day for no apparent reason.
They're driving Hummers at the age of 19 and they live in the hood. Come on.
Correct.
Like we
mom
know.
And dad or dad right. gets a dad a who's job. Never coached a day in his life is like suddenly
gets a coach. The defense,
yeah. Suddenly the defensive line coach. I mean, yeah.
But here's the difference. What you're doing now, Jimmy, is that you don't have to go back in a year or two and suspend that player or the coaches or the organ or the school by allowing it to happen. You know, like saying, hey, we know that corruption is going on and we're not going to punish a player anymore. So we're going to make it free reigns. You know, hey, listen, Nike wants to pay you $1 million and you're 19 years old and you're out of Ohio State. Go make that money. But here's the other issue. If you're asking for the institutions to pay them, what's the salary? It's never going to be enough. And should Chase Young make the same amount as the redshirt freshman? So now there's a sliding scale.
Well, I would argue the answer is yes. They should all make the same. If you're going to be paid. No, hear me out. If you're good enough to be on the team. Okay. All right. Unpopular opinion. Hot
That's
take.
Socialism, bro. Come on.
I'm not disagreeing.
Like, what's the old thing? It's like everybody in the village all contributes one corn, and if you have any extra, it goes to everybody. But if I get 10 and you get one, then we're still going to get the same amount. Like that.
I've never heard of that, by the way.
Which is, it's actually like, I believe it was like how, like, like some of the Constitution was written up or something along those lines. But yeah, so like if I'm coming in and I'm contributing, you know, 15 sacks and, you know, 13 games played, and you have somebody that plays one game and doesn't place for 5 minutes, they shouldn't make what I make. especially if I'm on the cover of every commercial for Ohio State and every, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's why, no. Like, that's but why there the institutions is, there can't is pay, be man. Yeah. They can't, the institution itself cannot pay because it's just going to be a disaster, man. But I'm all for, hey, listen, Nike wants to pay you $1 million, go get it. I don't give a shit.
Hey, if the institution gets a TV deal, then maybe that TV deal goes to the players. You know, yeah, like something like that.
How much percentage goes to Chase Young and how much percentage goes to Johnny, whatever.
Well, but if it's something like that where it's the team gets it, then maybe that gets split up evenly. Well, right? Or maybe you go like, hey, you have to be, for example, like accolades, right? So you have to be above a certain threshold in certain categories, right? And then you get paid this amount. If you're below that, you get paid this amount, right? So like if you're considered a starter, then you get paid, you know, maybe 70% or 60%. And if you're not a starter, well, maybe that's something to incentivize you to work.
What if you get benched middle of the year?
Yeah, I was going to say, what if you get injured and so the second string has to become the starter? Did they get a pay raise?
Well, if they beat that threshold by the end of the year, then maybe. Maybe you wait to the end of the year to pay them that money so you can even that out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but then they can't fly their mom out to watch them play because they don't have money because they have to wait till the end of the year.
Don't you think that the schools have already thought of all this and just thought this is just too much of a headache?
100%. No. Yeah,
we're not going to even deal with this.
Do you think that, no, of course. But here's the thing. Yes, they are smart. Do you think they want to give – do you think they want to be greedy and keep all their money, or do you think they want to say, you know what, let's give away millions of dollars that we're making, giving it to all these people? No, they don't want to give away their money.
I think you'd be surprised on how many people are okay with actually paying players, but it's – how does it work? That's their biggest issue. Like, how is this thing going to work, you know, logistically, and how is it not going to turn into a nightmare? Because I know plenty of coaches in the college field, whether it's baseball or whatever, like, they don't care. Like, go ahead and pay the players, but how the hell is that going to work? Nobody has found a way to make it to justify how it would work.
Yeah, but those aren't the people that are getting the money.
Yeah, not even pay the players. I mean, in the world of baseball, just pay the third coach. I mean,
yeah,
you know, exactly. There's so much money there. But all right, obviously this is a hot topic and one that we're not going to solve here. But you know, good points of view, and something really I think that we can go back and discuss in the future, because there's a lot of changes coming. I personally think the NCAA is a flawed institution that needs to go away or start.
It needs to just combine with like all these other. Like, can just be essentially the G leagues or the minor leagues,
or something along those lines. But we'll bring this topic to a close, and head on to topic two at this point. I think it's a good place to stop, and let's see what we got with topic two. On to topic two, we're back. But before we get started, King Bean has returned from. What was only described as bums in the yard. So King Bean, give us invasion. A quick update on the bum invasion. What happened?
Okay, quick update. I was taking my trash out because it is trash day, and I noticed two middle-aged bums picking through a trash bin across the street. Okay. And then as we started the podcast, my fiance goes to go to sleep. And she goes to shut her blinds, and they're in our side yard hoarding all of their shit in the yard behind the hedge. So I don't really know what that's about, but PBSO is on its way.
Let's go. Let's go.
You didn't confront them and ask what they were doing?
Any questions?
No. What's crazy is she sees them out the window, and I didn't see them through the – honestly, I couldn't see them through the hedge. And as soon as I see them, they're like walking away. So I unlock my truck so the headlights come on, and they're gone. Went out there with the flashlight, went down the street, gone, nowhere to be found. So, you know, talk to the landlord. Landlord's calling the cops. Yeah, see how it goes from there.
All right. Interesting. Well,
keep us posted, man.
Yeah,
keep us posted.
So I'm going to have to probably go here in the next 15 minutes.
Let us know if you need any backup. We'll be there in 25.
You live an hour 20 away. An hour
25 for me, but I'll be there.
Okay. For you, Marty, I'll make it 25.
Just keep them tied up. I'll be on my way.
All right, then let's get into the topic two real quick, and maybe we'll let King Bean go first. All right, so we've had this discussion several times, and I think it's a fun one to have. The topic is rap beefs, and really what brought it up is, you know, we had to listen to Skinny P, who can't get enough of 6ix9ine, who apparently thinks he might be the second coming, talk about how great he is, this, that, and the other thing. But during the course of the week, 6ix9ine has somewhat started a rap beef or some sort of beef with Snoop Dogg, which just seems like the worst decision possible. Basically calling him out, you know, accusing him of cheating on his wife, and in very public Instagram posts, things of that nature. Kind of got me thinking about, you know, we had talked about Machine Gun Kelly and how he had called out Eminem and what that did for his career. And it made me think about what we tried to do one time, and I'll save that story for a little bit. But this topic is really pretty simple. Do rap beefs, or really beefs in any sense of the word, are they beneficial for the lesser of the two parties in the rap beef? So what I mean here is there some benefit to 6ix9ine calling out basically a rap god, a rap legend in the game? Is there some benefit for him? So King Bean, any thoughts on rap beefs or anything along those lines before you might have to get out of here?
I feel like the beef is only beneficial to the lesser if the god, so to speak, acknowledges him. And so In this case, did Snoop acknowledge 6ix9ine and continue the beef?
He did. He responded back in an Instagram post basically telling
him.
Then
6ix9ine has gotten everything he's wanted. And that's exactly the same thing that I feel like Machine Gun Kelly did with Eminem. They both made a song about each other. It got popular. They both made money. Boo, boo, boo. We're all happy.
Is it worth it if that ends up being your entire 15 minutes of fame? Because the argument is that nobody's ever really heard much.
Well, no, he's famous for snitching, right?
Correct. I agree, he is. So
I mean,
Darren has a deep love for him.
Yeah, regardless of what he snitched for or whatever, but he's more famous for snitching than he is for the beef with Snoop Dogg.
Skinny P.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, that's one of the big stories on him now is the whole snitching. Which before, he was known for the four or five songs that made top Billboard.
Get Drayway!
Yeah, he's had more Billboard hits than your boy Lil Uzi Vert. He's actually beaten Drake in Toosie Slide video. I think he had 118.
Is any of this relevant, though?
No, and he's saying it very slow and weird.
I'm just making sure you guys.
Did you write this down on your palm, Skinny?
He did, but his hands are sweating.
I chicken scratched it like Jimmy, and I can't read my own writing right now, so hold on.
So for those of you listening, without a doubt, Skinny P is the least prepared person on this entire podcast.
I'm not the least prepared person.
100%. 100%.
Just so you get some background in how this podcast works, the topics are typically sent out a couple days in advance so that everybody has an opportunity to prepare themselves to come ready to talk. And Skinny P never is prepared to talk.
Prepared to talk. I'm here to talk. This is a podcast.
Prepared to talk, just doesn't know what we're going to talk about.
Exactly.
Because usually he jumps on the call and says, all right, so what are we talking about today, guys?
Let's do it on the fly. Let's go. Do I know anything about the subject? No. All right, cool.
So then what you're saying is then you don't talk.
I do talk.
He talks.
You just said if you don't know anything about the topic, then it's just like, okay, I'm here.
I listen and I give my opinion.
He makes noises.
I do. Yes,
I think that's more accurate.
Skinny, but besides, listen, because right now you're just stroking 6ix9ine, okay?
Okay, so I've only been pushing 6ix9ine because
crazy.
I found out Jimmy can't stand the kid. And honestly, I've always, I don't know what it is about his music. I can't get enough of it. I love it. I don't listen to it all the time, but there's moods where his songs are on repeat.
Is it true that you compared Tekashi 6ix9ine to DMX?
Okay. We were playing Fortnite that night. It was you, Federico, and myself. And you're like, oh, all he does is scream. What I said was he has a very similar style of rapping like DMX. DMX and 6ix9ine have a very similar style. I did not compare him. I did not say he is just like DMX. I said they have a very familiar style.
You literally uttered the phrase the other day that 6ix9ine was potentially better than Drake or Eminem.
No. I said, yes, statistic-wise, yes. Is he? Because we know our boy Torp Doe over here is a huge stat guy. And statistically, Toosie Slide only had 81 million views on YouTube in a month, where his new song, 6ix9ine's new song, had 118 million in just 3 days.
But let's be real. Are 100 million of those his own views?
I mean, are Drake's his own views?
He has a bot set up to just watch his video over and over. Okay, and
Darren,
over and over.
The rap beef though. Opinion on rap
beef. Okay, opinion on rap beef. I can honestly agree with Marty on that. It only benefits the person who's lower. Which honestly, I do like 6ix9ine, but I think he's going a little bit too far with calling out on
hot take. I think it benefits both. And here's why.
But it doesn't benefit Snoop Dogg at all.
100% it benefits both. 100%.
Let me tell you our story, and then let's see if we can combine it into real world. So a while back, we tried to go the Twitch route. We were going to try to build a Twitch following and go through there. And so at the time that this was all happening, Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem were kind of going through what they were going through. So we said, or at least Federico and I thought, you know what? Hey, there might be something to this calling somebody out like that. So the plan was, is that every time we got on Twitch, we were going to call out a, you know, not a super big, but a moderate YouTuber or another Twitch person, in this case, Camping Rusher, who, damn it, man, I love him, but golly, we called him out every single
target.
He's a great target. We called him out every single night. Said something, we started our Twitch calling him out, you know, hey, he's trash, you know, the advice he gives is horrible, listen to us, blah, blah, blah. And ultimately it had no effect because he never even acknowledged. he never even acknowledged us. He was too big.
We were ready.
But the thought is that, hey, listen, if he does call us out, he's got over like 1.5 million followers. Even if just 1% of those followers are interested in the beef and say, hey, let me go check out these other guys and start following us just to follow us for the sake of following the beef, that's 10,000, you know, 10,000 followers that we picked up. That's huge for somebody starting out. So from my perspective, I think the beef works. Nobody was talking about Machine Gun Kelly. He puts that album out that song out on Eminem and he blew up. Now, it may have just been 15 minutes.
TV shows. I mean, you name it. He did it.
And hot take, I think his song was better than Eminem's, but that's just crazy, that's my bro.
No way.
Hot take.
Killshot was a banger.
Yeah. Listen, you're only saying that because he's from Ohio.
I think it was so much better, but that's just my opinion.
He's from Ohio, and you have a love affair with that
armpit. No, it's the. It's those, it's the brick tattoos. I mean, so classy.
Here's my opinion on the whole rap beef stuff. Not just with, well, before I get into that, I'm going to agree with Skinny. Like, I'm a big 6ix9ine fan. And it's not even his music. I love his energy, bro. He don't give a fuck about anybody. Like, dude, that's a little short Mexican dude that talks like if he's 6'5". Now, will he end up getting stomped out? Maybe. But for the time being, you know, I honestly like his energy. He's different than everybody else. He talks a big game. He talks like he's not scared of anybody. He's not afraid to go after anybody, not afraid to call them out. And I guarantee you, there's a reason why he went after Snoop Dogg.
Well, Snoop Dogg had commented on him.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. So really, did he start the beef? No. He's just getting a lot of people to come out of the woodworks and say like, oh, you're a snitch. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of rappers that work with the feds to keep themselves safe. So let's not be naive and think that, oh, there isn't rappers that aren't connected with, you know, certain police forces, whatever. Remember, these guys pay for protection all the time when they go out. So,
but that's what 6ix9ine said. He said Snoop Dogg ratted out Suge Knight.
Oh yeah, that's what I wouldn't doubt it. I didn't even know that. I didn't follow this beef.
I think his exact words were, when he went to the feds told them, or told 6ix9ine, all of the rappers that they work with, and mm-hmm. you know, the track record of rappers.
100%. You think 6ix9ine's the first snitch? No, man. Come on,
he's the first one to not give a crap and say, "Hey, yeah."
And he was such a big, like, he was such a big polarizing figure, and the way the media is now, you know, social media and media, like, you find out everything. I guarantee you, it's been going on for years where there's rappers snitching on other rappers, and it's been talked about. But here's my thing when it comes to the beef, though, right?
Okay.
Here's where I disagree with 6ix9ine. You got to leave the wife and the kids out of it. I think everything is fair game, and I didn't agree with Ja Rule when I'm glad Eminem murdered him. I didn't like Machine Gun Kelly, and I'm glad that Eminem killed his career. You don't talk about families, bro. You don't talk about women. And you don't talk about kids because they can't defend themselves. They aren't on the platform. It's a different story if you are parading your wife and your kid in the public eye. You know what I mean? But that's why I lost respect for Machine Gun Kelly. That's why I lost respect for Ja Rule at the time. And I don't like that 6ix9ine called, you know, like try to get this man in trouble with his wife for cheating or whatever he did. I didn't follow the story closely. I just know he's got a beef. So I love rap beef, but leave the wife and the kids out of it. I think rap beef will people win because you get more Google searches, you get people to click on songs, it's great for everybody. It's great for sales, great for everything. But you gotta leave the wife and the kids out of it.
But you think it benefited, like let's look at Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem. You think it benefited Eminem in any way to have that beef?
100%. Rejuvenize his career. 100%. 100%. It made him relevant, Jimmy. Made him relevant. What was he doing before that?
I mean, he's 50. Who knows what he was doing?
That's what I'm saying. He was probably playing golf.
You know? Eminem, I'm calling you out. Write a song about us. Make us famous.
Diss us.
Diss us. Let's go. Let's go. You a bitch. You a bitch. Let's go. Come on. Say something about it.
I think rap beefs are good for both parties, man. I really do. I think they're good for both parties, unless, you know, you get murdered, you know, and you know, like, look, even everybody said that Drake murdered Meek Mill. And Meek Mill, honestly, he's doing fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they patched it up. I think that was all.
No, sure. I know. But even then, even if he didn't, like, Meek Mill, you still have Meek Mill fans, and he's put out good albums since then. That's what I'm saying.
They did a rap. I mean, going bad, they did after all that. So, I mean, it's hard to say that was even really a beef. That was really just, I think, a coordinated. Maybe. Hey, you take the L here, and it'll work out for you a long time. You know, that's my opinion. So, on that one, you know, listen. The bottom line is, Camping Rusher still fucking sucks. And I mean, this guy needs to recognize it and acknowledge that we think he sucks. That's all there is to it. And honestly, Joe Rogan, come get some. Your podcast is trash. Come get some.
I'm going to apologize in advance. Tiger. I'm a fan of it. I love the Joe Rogan Experience. I listen to it all the time.
They're soft, aren't they, Jimmy? Yep.
Jimmy, you can catch that heat. I ain't catching that heat.
Hey, Joe Rogan, I'm the better bald guy, bitch.
Correct. Joe Rogan, you're washed up. You want a piece? You know, somebody send it. Somebody send this to him.
And you live in California.
Yeah. You know what, Joe Rogan? We don't need Alpha Brain to function.
Screw it. Well, while we're at it, let's call out Mike Tyson. Let's challenge him.
No, chill.
chill. Yeah, I want to keep my jawline for some.
Well, I'm talking for Danny. Danny thinks he's not the greatest of all time, so let's just throw him to Danny.
All right, I think this is a good place to stop topic two. In general, I think the group believes that rap beefs are good. I'm interested to see how this plays out long term for 6ix9ine. Again, I don't think he's alive in 6 months, so you know, that's just my opinion.
Hold on. I have one more question. Do you think it's smart for him to go after Snoop Dogg of all people?
It's not going to go anywhere, bro.
Like, knowing like Snoop Dogg's background.
That was 40 years ago, Darren.
Bro, it don't matter. You don't think that man can go, hey, brother, get your guy to take care of him. Thank you.
You don't think that everybody's trying to do that right now?
I think Snoop Dogg's going to bust out his cane sword and stab him in the chest. I mean, I think it was so long ago.
Yeah, like what is Snoop Dogg going to do? Put out a diss song? Nobody's going to listen to that shit. If anything, it made him relevant for 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, in the mirror, I don't hate Snoop Dogg, but I mean, he's retired, man. Like, he's old.
I think King Bean said it best. This is my answer to your question, Skinny. I think if you're going to call somebody out and you're doing it for purposes of whatever, get your name out there, do whatever the case may be, you have to make sure that whoever you call out is going to respond to you. So, I mean, Snoop responded. I mean, obviously, 6ix9ine.
Yeah, and they have to respond publicly, too.
Exactly. Obviously, 6ix9ine is unbelievably big enough that Snoop Dogg felt that he needed to respond to it. But if you call out somebody and they don't respond, it's, you know, it's basically Camping Rusher treating us like the trash we are, apparently.
It's very hurtful. Very hurtful. We're a piece of shit.
Damn, that nasally Canadian. Let's go. Come on, be better.
I'm not Canadian.
No. True. Okay, we'll end topic two there. And then let's head on over to the change my mind topics. Okay, so we're on to now the all change my mind topics. As I've said in podcasts, this is the opportunity where I'm going to make statements. I'm going to give the gentleman a chance to change my mind. Today's going to be a little personal, though. I had written 5 topics that I felt pretty good about, but there's one topic that has come up over the last week that I'm going to start with, and I'm going to give this gentleman the opportunity to really change not just my mind, but the mind of all of us participating in this podcast tonight. So a little bit of background. Not only do we play Fortnite together, we're actually really good friends outside of all. And this past weekend, for the first time in a long time, we've been able to group up and we went and played golf. During the course of the golf round, we were on the back nine at some point, and we were on a par five, Richie, or a par four?
Par four.
It was a par four. It was
straight away.
Par four. Probably, I shot an 8, roughly.
But tight.
Tight, yeah, tight par four. And I think it had to be a par five because the claim is 400 plus.
So I think maybe it was a par five.
Yeah, so I think it was like a straightaway.
It was a 4.
4 or 5. The claim was 400 plus. So it's a straightaway par 5. Houses all the way down the right hand. Straight houses. Nothing, you know, no cart path, nothing. On the left hand side.
On the other side of the houses.
On the other side of the houses.
No, in between. There was gaps.
Very few. Very few. But on the left. On the left hand side.
230 yards out.
Yeah, on the left-hand side, there was a row, a tree straight down, obviously the cart path. After we all teed off, we finished the hole, we get to the end of the hole, and Torpedo, off on his own, walks up with a ball in hand and says, "Guys, you're not going to believe it, but I found my ball. I think I hit my drive, and it landed here." Torpedo's claim is that he hit a drive over 400 yards and believes that somehow, magically, it skipped from house to house to house and ended up 400 yards down the fairway. I call bullshit. I can't even imagine that somebody would believe this. Torpedo, I'm going to give you the opportunity to change not just my mind, but everybody's mind.
Hold on, Jimmy.
No,
Jimmy.
Go ahead.
Hold on 1 second. Before, nobody believes this, okay? Nobody believes other than Torpedo. So other after Torpedo gives his claim, can we just give you our theories?
Correct.
I'm ready for this. Okay. I just want to go. I'm gonna skip whatever you're about to say. I apologize in advance, but I'm ready to give a hot take on this. So just to give a little bit of backstory, okay. This is a day that my driver wasn't on, but I was stubborn enough to hit it anyways. Okay. Everything was slicing at least 50 yards to the left. I'm a left-handed golfer. Everything's slicing to the left.
120.
Yeah. Probably 120 yards. Okay. Regardless, it was a lot. It was more than the fairway. Okay, whatever. That's besides the fact. So earlier on, I would probably aim 100 yards to the right, and it would land in the middle of the fairway. So my first one, I'm trying to aim for the middle of the fairway, goes wide left into some houses, ball's gone forever. Okay. So I tell myself, you know what? Instead of taking a drop way on, I want to hit another drive because, again, I'm stubborn and I want to try to fix the issue on the golf course, which never works. So what I do is I aim 100 yards to the right again, but this time it might have been like 80 or so. However, all the guys, instead of being behind me, like with somebody tracking my shot, they're off in their carts. To the fact that King Bean actually gets in his golf cart and drives away because he thinks I'm going to hit him with my shot. So I hit the shot.
I'm lost in the story.
And I know what and happened. Okay, you could talk. The floor is yours. You're telling a story. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So I take the shot. I take the shot and I immediately lose it. So I turn and I ask if anybody else saw it because I lost it. I couldn't see it out of the air. So we go on. I drop it just on my old shot. I drop it. We play the hole. Everybody finishes. They're on to the next hole. I didn't end up finishing the hole. I just took the worst score possible. And so I go to get my ball out of a bunker. And Skinny P is actually right near me at the time. Mm-hmm. And so as I pick my ball up out of the bunker, I see another ball off to the side behind or right in front of a fence next to the house. So I'm like, ah, there's another ball. I've been losing balls all day. Let me go pick it up. I'll put it in my bag and maybe hit it on the next hole. So I go to pick up the ball and shit you not, it's that second drive that I hit. And it's the same ball, the one that I lost.
I'm shaking my head.
And I
right
go
now.
Up and I go up to everybody. I'm like, look, I'm not saying it hit here and landed in the air and rolled here. Like, I don't know how it got here, but this is the same ball that I hit. I have no reason to lie about it. I'm not asking anybody to replay the hole, like nothing. I'm just saying, hey, this is my ball that I hit.
You because it had a very distinct marking. You believe the ball traveled 400 yards.
I believe 400 plus.
400
without a shadow of a doubt that was the ball that I hit. It was not. I don't think it was straight.
Where you found the ball was only was
there was houses next to it. Like no, it was way off. It was way off to the right. Like
so, what made you look way off to the right?
Well, because I told you because mine was in a bunker, and then I saw
the bunker's by the green though.
No, okay, but it was off the green. It was like off the green, like kind of like where the hazardous area would be. Like normally there's like a hazardous area right before houses. There's like mm-hmm. fences. And that's where it was, lying in front of the fences.
Just tell us though, how do you think it got there? That's what we want to know.
So how do you think
the ball got there?
Your theory.
Either I think that it possibly hit it, you know, because my driver is a high degree loft. Okay, so maybe I hit it high because it's a 12, I believe it's a 12 degree or a 12 and a half degree.
That is
I
want to say 12 that's degree. Super high. Yeah.
So it could have traveled, you know, maybe let's just say 270 yards and then hit, you know, because when golf balls hit surface, they fucking shoot out. So
you
it could
travel
have
270.
Hit, dude, you know, a house is like a cone. If it hit that back end of the cone at the right angle, I mean, it could have hit off Danny. That and then hit
Danny,
a car.
How about what you're saying? So you're saying it hit a roof and it bounced in between trees and grass and everything, another 200 yards?
It could have hit the fence again. I don't know. It could have hit anything.
Hold on.
Did he not say house to house 200 yards?
No, I'm not saying it was
house to house. I would like to add that he did say at some point that he doesn't know. Maybe a bird could have picked it up and carried it.
He did argue that.
He did say that as well.
Who knows?
I disconnected my headphones. What did I miss?
It could have hit a house, landed on a bird, and the bird dropped it in the sky, and it landed on the side of the green. I mean, I don't know. Listen,
there's iguanas there too. An iguana could have carried it.
Yeah, maybe it was trying to walk on water, like you know, whatever. Jesus walked with me. Kanye West was there. I don't know. Like, Jesus.
So you think it hit the house, and then maybe not another house, but it hit the 1-inch flat top of a fence. And continue
listen,
down the fence line.
You're asking me to tell you how it got there. I have no clue. I'm making the best guess I could. There's no reason for me to make it up. I mean, I tell you all the time, I'm a guy, I have a crappy clubs, okay? It costs $100 for the whole set, including the bag, okay? Like, you know, me hitting 250 yards is like, that's the creme de la creme, you know? So I have
nothing. So what was so special about this ball, though, that you says it has to be it? Because what type of marking did it have? It had a
very distinct, like, logo on it. With a scuff on it. It had a scuff.
You think that's the only one ever made with that logo? Let me ask you.
And that scuff? Yes.
You sure it wasn't the range ball that you were hitting half the round?
Yes, because I was hitting yellow range balls, and that was a white ball.
Let's do it this way. What do the rest of us think?
Yeah, you know, because I'm very curious as to what you guys think happened, because obviously I had eight of them in my freaking pocket and just dropped them all around the course. So let's hear it.
You hit the ball, a bird flew by and it went into its orifice. At that point, it then shat it out and it hit the 7th degree angle pitch on the rooftop, which is tile, and then sprung to an alligator, which reflexed, and it smacked it with its tail, the railing, which then narrowly rolled all the way down for about 40 yards before an iguana then carried it the extra 30.
40 yards of rough. Remember, there was no cart path on that side.
The iguana got to throw it that far.
Okay, that's Marty's.
Trees. Like big trees. Yeah,
big trees. That's Marty's guess.
Not bigger than the houses.
I have a guess, but Skinny P, your thoughts?
I'm to the point where I don't know why we're still talking about this. Danny, good job. You're so strong.
Danny was there. He saw it happen.
Yeah, don't throw my name in this.
The two guys who combined scored a 240 on 18. All right.
I haven't golfed in like 9 years.
All right, Richie, thoughts?
You know, Marty, I was along the same path as Marty. Like, it had to be an animal. But in all honesty, I just think that Danny forgot the ball that he hit off the tee, found a ball there that may have been similar to another ball that he had hit earlier in the day, because he did hit a lot of balls earlier in the day.
But I was shooting I was shooting yellow range balls.
Danny, you shot all sorts of color.
No, I was shooting, look, I was shooting only yellow range balls and then dirty freaking balls that I would pick up.
Right. So listen, Danny's not a liar. Could he exaggerate a little bit? Yes. And this is just one of those gullible things where he, in his mind, really thinks that's the ball that he hit.
It is. It is the ball.
It's a ball. Looks like the ball.
One thing about me is my character has never come into question.
I'm not saying you're purposely lying. I just think you're confused.
Listen, I'm not saying you're telling the truth. I'm not saying you're lying, but I'm not saying you're telling the truth.
Here's the two
scenarios. I call you a truther.
Here's the two scenarios that I think are most likely. I think the ball could have been his ball, but he so poorly mishit it on another hole that that's where it ended up.
No, I only found the hole before, Danny, because I didn't hit it on the hole before. I used it only on that one hole, and I lost it immediately after I hit it. So it couldn't have hit it before.
Are you getting mad, Danny?
I think that's bullshit. I think you hit it so poorly on the hole before that it did hit off of houses and that it worked its way through a neighborhood. And that's where it ended up from a hole. I'm going to even say maybe two holes previous. That's how poorly you hit the ball. I think that's the first scenario. Or the second scenario is, and I'm not ruling this out, I still think it's possible that at some point in the future, Skinny P is going to come clean that he threw that ball there to mess with you after the fact.
Maybe he did. Look,
I'm gonna say at some point in the future, that at some later date, Skinny P is gonna come clean and say that he threw that ball there hoping you'd find it so that you could think that you hit a 400 yard drive.
And not only that, they were playing on teams at the time. Remember,
they were playing on teams. Yeah. They were playing.
But I didn't even play that ball. Here's the thing, and here's where I could dispel that. It's we were both singing. We were both playing with Fungos. Okay, we were both neck and neck the whole way. So there's no way that he could have snuck off there.
Okay. Well, listen.
What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Yeah. They were playing dummy sticks. I think is what he said on 15. So
dummy sticks.
Okay. Well. That's what he said. All right, listen, Danny, you have not changed my mind. I'm pretty sure you haven't changed anybody's mind. I did get you to think about it. Correct. I'm going to award everybody except Skinny P a point for this one. All right, topic number two.
Oh, my God.
When flying on an airplane, the person in the middle seat gets both armrests. Changed my mind. He gets the armrest to the left and to the right.
Wrong.
How is that fair? If
because he gets the shoulder to lean on the right.
Yeah. Well, honestly, he gets both shoulders, so why should he get both armrests as well?
Yeah, but he can't lean on both shoulders at the same time.
He's in the middle. He or she are in the middle. They have right of way to the armrest in the middle. That's my argument.
I think the person in the middle should slide their arms to the front, and then the people in the back, if they're friendly, if this is a friendly airplane, then you slide your elbows to the back, like the people on the side.
Three strangers sitting in three seats. The middle guy, I think, gets both the left and right armrest in the middle seat.
Well, if I'm sitting on the aisle, my left elbow is going in the back side of the armrest. If you want to put it in the front part of the armrest, I'm cool because I'm a friendly guy. But you're not taking my back side of the armrest.
Yeah, but in that argument, though, Richie, you're claiming that if you're sitting in the left seat of three seats, you're taking the left and the right. So you're
that's what I'm saying. Everybody can share. We can all share. That's my point. Everybody can take two.
So you can't share your shoulder?
But I'm not touching you when I have my. I'm not touching the screen.
He did say no touching.
Why are you laying on a stranger's shoulder? That gets you kicked off the plane.
And he's asked me that twice. Like, I don't understand.
Is this something you do? Honestly, last time I was in a plane, I was in the middle seat and there was a lady to my right and I fell asleep on her shoulder. Like, I was gone. And she totally didn't care. She totally didn't care. I was like, cool.
Oh my God.
So that's what I'm asking. But here's the thing. I let her have the armrest. Well, I rested on her shoulder. Like, that was the compromise. We didn't have the discussion, but we saw eye to eye that, hey, I'll lean on your shoulder and I'll give you the armrest. That is the middle ground.
Let's be clear. You never spoke about it.
You just did it, right?
I gave her the look.
Did you ask her for
her
address?
She pointed to her shoulder. Like, she pointed to her shoulder and she just tapped it. Like, come on, big boy. Lay your head here.
Come on. Wait, Skinny. So just to be clear here, you did not know this woman? You just rested your head on a strange woman's shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find anything wrong with it?
Yeah.
It was an understanding they had.
Yeah. It was an unspoken understanding that she had the armrest and I had the shoulder.
Wait, it was spoken?
Why is this so hard to comprehend?
You spoke it?
Unspoken.
We didn't. It was an unspoken, like, you know, unspoken rules. Yeah, the unwritten rules. Same thing. It was unspoken. I let her have the armrest. She gave me the shoulder. It was a great flight.
Oh, did you guys share a blanket as well, or was that wasn't part of the?
This process? Was an up. This was a stand up lady. She woke me up when snacks came around.
When snacks came around.
She's like, hey, do you want a snack? I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
She woke me after the snack. Did you go back to sleep on her shoulder or no?
It took me like 10, 15 minutes, but yeah. I don't know why you guys have never done this?
No.
I can't believe you weren't kicked off the plane or on Fox News for sexually harassing a woman on a plane. This is an unbelievable story to me. King Bean, thoughts?
I'm speechless right now. I'm soaking it all in.
Oh, I have no, I, I want to give you the point, Skinny, but I, you know, I just can't because of the rules of the game. So we'll give it to Richie. All right. Before we get out of here, one thing that I failed to mention during the conversation about Torpedo's 400 plus yard drive is that in order to resolve this problem in the future, he has gone out and bought what he claims to be magic golf balls that guarantee that he can hit it straight down the fairway. And I would be remiss if we ended this podcast without giving him an opportunity to talk about how he thinks these golf balls, number one, are real, and number two, are going to benefit his game.
And what then you spend say the bet. You have to say the bet that me and you have Torpedo, and then the bet that you and Jimmy have.
Well, okay. First off, they fly 75% straighter. Okay. I've done my research.
Have like an 80-yard curve.
I've done my research.
Now it's just like a 35-yard curve.
Well, let's think. If it's let's do the math here. 150 yards. Okay, at 10% is what, 15 yards, and multiply mm-hmm. that by 7. You know, that's removing over 80 yards of slice. So
about half of it.
Yeah. Well,
so no, big still a big more. Slice.
So. Okay, my math is obviously off there, but you know, regardless of the fact, 75%, okay? I've seen the videos. I've done the research. They work. Okay, they might average about 10 to 20 yards less. Okay, however, they fly straight. Okay, now I am so confident in these. I am so confident in these that I actually have two bets going along with two of our members right now, Frederico Tomas and Old Gray Fox. Okay. The bets are both
with the whoever magic
wins is going to get their round paid for. Side
question.
Of course, Marty,
Dean wants in on the action. He wants
no. I don't want a side. I don't want a side bet. I think it's retarded. I just have a side question.
Sure. All
right.
Why don't you just fix your swing?
Exactly. This is what I tried to tell him.
But I would like. Look, on days like what happened at Grand Palms, okay, I know my shot is through the roof. You're not going to fix it when you're on the golf course that day, okay? I'm tired of losing balls.
You try to fix it on the golf course that day so that you learn something.
Well, maybe some days I want to go out on Sunday and relax and have fun, okay? Is that so wrong?
It's fun shooting a 120?
No, it'll be fun shooting an 80 and beating all of you.
He says he's shooting an 80 now. He's really our magic.
Wait. I don't know if he told you guys this, but at the same time he bought those balls, he also bought 3 seeds from some guy named Jack. And so we'll see how those pan out for him too after the
round. Okay. Well, you know what? So the bets are. Okay, the bets with Frederico are he can hit 3 balls, 3 for 3, on the middle in the fairway while aiming straight towards the fairway. And I can hit it 3 for 3 on the fairway and over at least or over 200 yards. Okay, correct. My bet with Old Gray Fox, I forgot what the bet was with Old Gray Fox.
Even with the magic golf balls, which just sounds stupid to say out loud.
Oh, yeah, that I could shoot under 100.
I don't think you'll shoot under 110.
I 110. Even better for me. So if I shoot under 110, he will pay for my round. I mean,
I will pay for your round of golf if you shoot under 110 with you. Right. But hold on a second. If we're gonna if the rules are though that you have to legitimately count every single stroke. You can't show
of
up.
Of course. Listen, you can shoot my golf cart. Hold on.
You can't fix your lies. You can't fix your lies. No gimme putts.
Hold on.
You can't show. He shouldn't have to fix his lies. He's gonna be in the middle of the fairway every time.
Hold on.
You can't show up on the green and say, "Oh, I shot a 5." When
listen to this, Jimmy. Listen to this. Listen to this with the ball. Watch this. Watch what he's
about. The one thing with
about fixing his lies
is that you have to aim. Okay, so on the ball, you know every ball has like Pro V1 down the side or TP5 down the side. You have to pick the ball up and aim that line towards wherever your target is that you're shooting.
So you're going to be unstoppable.
You know the arrows of the ball for putting, the lines for putting on the ball? You have to do it on every shot.
Okay, I'm going to add a side bet, and then we'll bring this topic to a close. How many of these balls did you buy?
It's a dozen. It came in a pack.
He leaves with two balls left.
I say you leave with no more than four balls left.
Okay, and what do you want to bet on it?
I'll bet lunch. I bet you lose eight of them before it's all said and done.
I will take that bet as well.
Okay, I'll buy you lunch if you don't.
Can I also hold on?
I almost want to side bet you.
Get in, let's go.
Guys, the book is open. The book is open. We're taking in all large sums.
Throwing in big bets here. Someone made some good money today.
I would like to throw in a bet that you lose them all in nine.
Okay. What would you like to bet? Dinner?
Well, we are playing at Sandhill Crane, so yes. Marty might be onto something here. You might not get past the first nine without losing all.
All right, well.
Look, I've played that course. You're fucked.
What do you want to bet?
I say there's a good chance.
Well, he's already buying me lunch.
I'll Venmo you a lunch. I don't give a shit. Or when you're buying Jimmy's lunch, you can buy mine too.
Here's
the caveat. You can't switch balls at any point. You can only use those balls.
Yeah, that's fine.
I can't wait. I can't wait. So listeners,
this round
we're playing
is gonna be hilarious.
It's gonna be listeners, great. We're playing this
and we're sleeping over his house on Saturday. So
yes.
So here's the deal. We're playing Sunday. So on our next podcast, we may even get a little bit crazy, try to do a little recording on the course for the podcast. But next podcast, we'll catch you up on the story, let you know how the bets went, let you know what happened with Danny and his magic balls.
That's all I can say. That needs to be the caption for this podcast, Danny and his magic balls.
Danny and his magic balls. And we'll let you know how his beanstalk works out, too, whether he got all the way up to the giant.
If Danny wins these bets, I think that we need to hit them up for a sponsorship and we could talk about them more.
Hey,
yes.
Who knows? I might have just sold eight boxes to all of you, okay? So
I'm not buying any golf clubs. I'm just going to go to a golf course and go in the water.
I will not use a magic ball. It's just not going to happen.
I wasn't planning on using it, but
I'm a man. my balls have actually dropped, so I don't need to use those.
Mine have dropped just way off to the left.
Correct. Okay, so with that being said, we're going to end it here tonight. Thank you for listening. And we'll hit that outro.
Later.
And with that, episode 4 comes to a close. We can't thank you enough for following, for subscribing. After each podcast, the group's getting a little bit bigger, and we're very, very thankful for our listeners, for our followers. We're thankful for the feedback. And right now, I'm going to ask you to go to Instagram, follow us at Ground Beef Podcast on IG. Go to Twitter, follow us on Podcast Beef. And again, if you recall in the last episode, we talked about giving away a $100 gift card once we get to 100 IG followers. We're close. We're right there. We want to give that money away. Why not you? So please, as soon as you get done listening to this, head over to IG, follow us on Instagram. Again, that's Ground Beef Podcast on Instagram. And leave some comments, leave some feedback. Let us know. Is there a topic you want to hear? Is there something that you'd like us to delve a little deeper into? This podcast is for you. We want to make you laugh. We want to make you enjoy it. So let us know what your thoughts are and reach out to us. Again, thank you. We look forward to the next episode. We can't wait to share the outcome of Danny's magical balls. So tune in next week as we see what happened there. And was he right? Were we wrong? Who paid who? So we look forward to it. Thank you again, and we're out.